Hoopsology Podcast, brought to you by the Bayou Cityan. I'm one of your hosts, Jesus Acevedo Jr., and I'm joined, as I am week in and week out, by the astute astrologist, Nostradamus, the Zodiac GM.
Hey, what's up? What's up? Welcome, welcome.
And, you know, Zodiac, this might be, hopefully, right, one of our most listened episodes. So the reason why I say that is because you, Zodiac GM, kind of went, I don't know if viral is the right word for it, because, you know, maybe, you know, in a certain section of, you know, the you know, Twitter, you know, your profile was being popped off. And that's because one of your, not so much predictions, but something you tweeted in September of 2023, when it was about the energy, the synergy, the astrological synergy between the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis and you know, Dame Lillard. And you said that it was not going to be a good mix with Adrian Griffin. Adrian Griffin, as we all know, basketball heads, hoopers, he was fired. He was let go, despite them having one of the best records in the Eastern Conference. And of course, you know, your tweet, because you retweeted it and other people retweeted it. I retweeted it. And other people retweeted it, you know, made the news. And you actually made a small appearance on television, your tweet, seeing that it was written in the stars. And, you know, sometimes that's what this show is about, right? Where, you know, we may, you may say something that may end up coming true. But, you know, something we always say, Zodiac GM, and I think you would agree, is that looking at basketball through this astrological lens is just another way to analyze this game. You know, there, I'm sure there are thoughts that have crossed your mind about signs that doesn't really play out. You know, perfect example is the Detroit Pistons, right? They have a good synergy, but they're just, as we've all seen, they just can't put it together.
Exactly.
So it's looking at basketball and the NBA. And it's just another tool that we like to use to look at the game. You know, we also have the eye test, we also have stats, but it's when things like this line up as stars do, you know, and happens, you know, it definitely makes you think, you
for
know,
sure,
the Bucks and you know, where they are right now. But before we get there, as we like to do each episode, we like to give a little education segment. Today we're talking about Virgos, Zodiac GM. So one thing I know about Virgos, all I know is they're perfectionists. That and they love details. Details and perfectionists. How close am I? Tell me.
You're right. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. That's one of their strengths. Virgos. Virgos, a mutable sign, earth element. As you mentioned, they are perfectionists. They're very hardworking, kind, reliable, intelligent. They're very patient, analytical, very judgmental, which is part of their trait to critique, and a control freak. All of these combined gets you a Virgo Virgo energy, which, of course, there's good and bads to all of the signs, right? But a Virgo in general, in sports, I personally like, because the Virgos are sort of like the ones that are willing to listen. They're sort of like students. They don't really gripe as much, in a sense, to fight other people's egos, but they're willing to adapt, right, against mutable. Mm-hmm. They're adapt, so they're able to adapt, and they're also sort of like, they make great hostess. So they sort of like a little bit more like a people pleaser, in a sense, to help other individuals out. So they're also networkings with that mutable sign, right? So of course, each group of the elements has a representative of, you know, the fixed cardinal mutable, right? So I like to call the mutable sort of like the networkings to kind of help connect all the other energies together, right? So that's what you're getting out of the Virgos. Now, Some of Virgos in the NBA, you got the James Harden, of course, he's a Virgo Cancer, right? And then you got Trae Young, Jimmy Butler, Mikal Bridges, Jaren Jackson Jr., Brandon Clark, Deontay Murray, Brandon Ingram, Aaron Gordon. There's a lot of good Virgo players in the NBA. Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell, Caris LeVert. I mean, those are a good core of Virgo players that's currently playing in the NBA right now. So, and also, you know, one of all-time greats, Kobe Bryant is also a Virgo. So, that's what you're getting out of the Virgo energy. So their most compatible signs are like the Taurus. You know, you get Virgo, it's in themselves, the Pisces, the mutable of compatible elements, you know. So those are some of their compatible signs that they're doing very well with.
And I think for some of the signs, some of the players you mentioned, it definitely, you know, you can see it, you know, talking about Kobe Bryant, you know, how was he just the finer details of the game? How many times, you know, he said he will practice at 3. So by the time people were starting to practice at 10, he already had 2 practices in. Like, he was just about that dedication. And like you said, hard work. One of my other favorite Virgos was Yao Ming. He was a Virgo, you know, very detail, very simple. Like, you know, his game was very, like, almost perfect. Well, like, his form, like, he was like the first, like, great big free throw shooting big man, right? Like just a soft touch.
Yeah, they love to perfect their craft. And another, you know, if there's something's not going the right way, they have the ability to adapt to make it perfect. Perfect example, James Harden, with all those fouls that he was dominating the NBA with several years ago, where it forced the NBA to change the rules. But guess what? He adapted it, right? You know, yep. And he's still an effective scorer, an effective basketball player. So that's kind of what you're getting with, and, you know, Kobe Bryant, of course, his hardworking ethics, as you mentioned. So yeah, I personally like Virgos in a basketball sense because of that. So they sort of make, quote unquote, the perfect teammate in a sense, with all the right energies around them. Look at Aaron Gordon, you know, from Denver Nuggets, perfect teammate for Jokic, Pisces, who's a compatible energy to him, and it works out very well. So, yeah,
it's all about the synergies, right? And, you know, as we start on our first topic, you know, we're gonna bring it back to the Milwaukee Bucks and Adrian Griffin, right? It just wasn't a good match. With, you know, specifically Giannis, right? Their star player. So now we got their new head coach, Zodiac, Doc Rivers. What's interesting is you had Doc Rivers in that tweet that you had in September. You had Doc Rivers as an A+ alignment and energy. So what can you tell us? How will Doc Rivers fit with this Milwaukee Bucks teams in terms of their astrological connection?
I mean, there's so much to it. Whenever I tweet, I sort of kind of give the basic, simple layout where, you know, where everyone can sort of understand and simplify it, you know, to kind of make it easier, right? But there's so much more analysis and detailed research behind the scenes, of course, right? So the reason why Doc Rivers, I see him as a strong potential, yes, their sun signs are very compatible. Not only that, you're looking at their qualities as well as their moon sign too, right? So it has a strong sense of connection all around. If you think about it, Giannis is a Sagittarius sun. Now, guess what Doc Rivers' moon sign is? Also a Sagittarius. Now, when you have that sort of connection that way, it's a strong connection. It's because you have a fair understanding of what the other individual is. Yes, they do understand each other in a core personality level, which Doc Rivers is a Libra, a cardinal sign, a natural leader of communication, and you have a fire sign of a Sagittarius in Giannis. Air fire works very well together, and also their moon and it also works very well together. So they have different aspects that connects all through their whole chart. But of course, it's not like, you know, when people read birth charts, a lot of times it stems into relationships. Of course, when you live with them or even get married or for whatever reason, but we're talking about just basketball. So I try to stick to the basics to simplify. A, just the big picture, is it going to work or is it going to not? Is it not going to work? So when I saw when they did hire Adrian Griffin a while back, there's certain levels where, yeah, a lot of times it can work. But the main reason why it was a strong influence that it wasn't going to work, because if you take a step back and look at the roster for the Bucks, right? Their main pieces, that whole roster fits Giannis very well. Like, I would say 8 of their, 10 players, rotational pieces, are all compatible to Giannis, which is air, fire. The reason why I say that's a big deal is because if you think about it this way, right? If you go into a locker room and you have all those energies already compatible and they're cool with Giannis, that's a heavy weight. That's a heavy influence, right? Yes, they did bring in Dame Lillard, which I thought was going to be an issue. Yes, he still doesn't fit in synergy wise, but they have all these energies enough to make it to kind of like cover it up in a sense. Plus he is talented. But when you have a head coach who's going to call the shots, trying to influence his energy into a dominant energy of all these fire signs, that's kind of where I saw the conflict. And I was just trying to envision like the steps ahead of that. And I was like, you know what? It's going to be a little conflict here, especially if your star player is Giannis, doesn't mix well with someone like Adrian Griffin. You know, the potential, a lot of these predictions or synergy analysis I do, it's all about the potential, right? Because I base it off of their personality type as well. It's a lot of psychology involved as well, sociology. And that's what I, you know, that's what I saw. And I figured, you know, it's going to be a rough connection between these two. And sure enough, as the season went on, months later, right, he ended up getting fired.
So clearly, you know, Doc Rivers fits on with this team. You know, does that also include, you know, Dame?
No, not directly, but it's okay. The reason why is because Dame, he's a Cancer, right? He's mixed with all these fire signs, right? Now, even with it, Adrian Griffin, what I'm thinking is Cardinal at times they kind of have an ego challenge,
right?
Like
two fires,
like,
right?
You know, it's like two natural leaders. One wants to overtake the other, so it's a little bit of conflict there. But the reason why it's okay because there's a heavy influence of all these energies that's gonna benefit with that. As you saw, whenever Adrian Griffin did get fired, I mean, Bucks were still a top team. They were still winning games because it was working, because it was a majority time 4-1 lineup, meaning four energies are compatible to one being Dame. And as I read and just kind of getting the feel of Dame somewhere, that Dame doesn't really feel comfortable with the offense, and I kind of anticipated that because of his energy. He doesn't really feel comfortable with the offense, but it's enough to get them through, you know. So
right because of it's more of a 4-1, and also he's a Cancer, right? So Cancers don't like to like cause a lot of trouble, right? So it just kind of fit
exactly.
in
exactly.
And plus, think of talent on the rise. Exactly, yeah. You know. And but like you said, talent, his talent's gonna ride over everything. I mean, he's Dame Dalla. Doc Rivers' former team, one of his many former teams, is the Los Angeles Clippers. And they are clicking. They are clicking since 13-2 since Christmas. 13-2 since Christmas. Granted, they play today, so these figures are before their loss today. But so now I guess 13-3 since Christmas, you know, 27-8 since November 17, 30-15 currently. They're definitely a team that once they gel, once they move Russell Westbrook to the bench, once he asked to be moved to the bench, once they found the right lineup, this team just started going. Of course, once James Harden got in playing shape, right, or got found the game rhythm of this season, they have just taken off. You know, I feel like they're a team that, like I said, they lost today. We're recording Monday night. They lost it to the Cavaliers. But this team feels like it's the kind of team that lose a game, then win 4 or 5 in a row, lose a game, win another 4 or 5 in a row. Like, you know, because they're always so in sync. They're always going to have a good number of consecutive victories. So break us down. I know we first talked when they made this trade for James Harden, but I know we haven't talked about him since, you know. So what can you tell us about the lineups that they're using and how it's clicking and how is Russell Westbrook coming off the bench? Does that energy mesh better with him off the bench?
Yeah, and you called this one too, because you had mentioned, hey, it might work out better if Westbrook comes off the bench because you got two dominant ball handlers. So the reason why it works, one, is because they play the same position, sort in a sense, right? So the synergy was there. They had a 5-0 lineup with Westbrook starting. The problem is the position. So that's also another factor of this whole synergy thing. Is you got to have the right positions as well, right? And you have basically two point guards. Now, two point guards, yes, it could still work, but in this team, for this particular team, it benefited them to have Westbrook come off the bench, which sort of creates a staggering rotation whenever Harden comes out and then Westbrook comes in and so forth, which they continue throughout the game, can have a lot of these 4-1 type of lineups, right, and benefits them. And they have the star players to each possible rotations that they use within the game, right? So it benefits them that way as well, and talent is definitely there. They have 3-4 superstars, you know, if you still want to call Westbrook a superstar. So it's there. This is a team, even when the trade happened, I was like, okay, this is the only team that I had rated as an A+ synergy and an A+ talent Once they got Harden, it was the same thing, A plus energy, A plus talent. When they were losing all these games, in my mind, I'm like, they're still good. Like, you know, I couldn't see them faltering for some reason. It was too hard for me to see them faltering. I was like, this is too strong of an energy or synergy as a team to falter. And sure enough, they just came up with this huge streaks and, you know, that 20 plus wins and, you know, 4 or 5 losses, and they're up there top three in the standings now. So yeah, it's a very, very strong lineup, talent wise, synergy wise. And back to the trifecta, that's kind of one of the reasons why I feel like any teams that have that quote unquote trifecta, meaning compatible elements with compatible qualities, when you have the fixed, cardinal, immutable working together in unison in any rotation, that means that's a strong unity. They each quality understands their role and benefits the next energy around them. So the Clippers definitely have that as well, with Harden being the Virgo, Leonard being the Cancer cardinal, Paul George being the Taurus fixed sign, and the Virgo being the mutable, which is what Harden is. So, and they happen to still be the best players in the team too. So it's almost too perfect.
Yeah, and it also seems like they know their roles, right? Like I would say Kawhi, if a last shot is going to be taken, Kawhi's going to be the first option. You know, I think that's what they've, I don't know that they've agreed upon, right? But I think that's the pecking order, you know, and I think, you know, James Harden or Paul George, either or, depending on the situation. But I think Kawhi Leonard's still, I think, their number one guy, right? When he's healthy, and as he's proved it this season, he can put up great numbers, and, you know, he's still not unstoppable to guard, but he's very difficult. You know, he's very difficult. But yes, you know, this is like you said, I like this team because they have multiple 4-1 lineups and they go when they have James Harden or when they have, you know, Russell Westbrook. And then even on the few times when they do play together, you know, their signs too also link up. But I like the way that Ty Lue has staggered them, you know, and staggered the lineups. You know, I think he's done a good job. You know, we're speaking about James Harden. I was thinking about it, you know, one of his former teams, right? The Brooklyn Nets. They just had sort of a comeback for themselves in a player, Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons, you remember Ben Simmons? Ben Simmons is back after missing nearly 3 months. Missing 3 months because of a pinched nerve in his back. And, you know, let me give you his stats today. He played 18 minutes, 10 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds. Not bad. Yeah, he came back. You know, he almost messed around and got a triple-double. So what I want to ask you, and, you know, it's hard for me to say how much he's going to play this season, right? Because he's had so many issues playing games for the past season and a half and 2 seasons. But how does his sign mesh with this Brooklyn Nets? And do you feel that his addition out to the team can kind of put him on some kind of a, you know, win some games here, string some good games here, some victories?
Yeah, so the Brooklyn Nets are still, I still consider as average synergy. They're neutral. The reason why, because they're put back again to that whole positional fit. You know, positional fit and synergy sort of has to align all throughout. And the problem with the Brooklyn Nets, it's their positional fit is very off. It's off. And not only that, their energies doesn't match well. It's sort of like you have one group here and another group here, and they all have some sort of influence in playing majority of the minutes. You mix them up, and it's just sort of scattered, right? From the head coach is an Aquarius, Vaughn, who is opposite of what Ben Simmons is. So let's start off from there, right? So who's compatible to Ben Simmons? You do have some great pieces there. You have Cam Johnson, who is Pisces, compatible to Ben Simmons. You do have Mikal Bridges, also a Virgo, compatible to Ben Simmons. But who's opposite of those? And the players I'm going to mention now, is that they're actually starters. Nick Claxton is opposite from the group I just mentioned. Spencer Dinwiddie. Oh, Claxton, by the way, is an Aries. Spencer Dinwiddie is also an Aries. And then now, Reese, as of late, Cam Thomas has been starting as well, and he's a Libra. And they also play a heavy influence in minutes too. So if you just think about it, chemistry, it's hard to kind of define, right? But if you look at it as a whole, from the head coach having, I don't want to say favoritism, but has a synergy with certain players like Claxton, Dinwiddie, Cam Thomas, Royce O'Neal, and then the other group, which also has a big factor in the whole rotation, such as now Ben Simmons, Mikal Bridges is, I see him as their lead guy. Cam Johnson, what does that spell? It just kind of scattered, you know what I mean? So I still see them as sort of like neutral. They have the potential to do it. It's just a matter of how the coach utilizes the lineup, right? Is he going to sit out Spencer Dinwiddie more? I mean, Cam Thompson's playing well. Is he going to sit him out just so this quote-unquote synergy can mesh? No, because these players are human. That's also another factor too, right? When the coach makes these decisions, there's a human aspect to it as well. You know, whenever I'm analyzing the synergy thing, it's like, okay, we can think of it as a robot, like a video game. We could do whatever we want, but it all depends how the coach utilizes him. The reason why I mentioned that, because he is a fixed sign, and a fixed sign of Aquarius. And what did I say about Aquarius? They really don't like change. So what they're used to tends to kind of stick, because they're going to believe it, and they're going to believe it, and then believe it. They don't have the capacity to adjust, adapt, and so forth. So that's what Vaughn is. He's a fixed sign. And that's kind of where I see where the problem might lies, because I don't think he has that ability to do that change, you know, to make such change.
I do wonder. I mean, you know, I think the Nets, I mean, they're currently, you know, they're fighting to be in the play-in tournament. They're 19-27. They've won two in a row. Atlanta Hawks 19-27. So maybe Brooklyn may sneak into the play-in or miss it, right? But I think we don't know what they're going to do during the trade deadline, right? Mikal Bridges' name has been thrown under a lot. And I feel like the Nets they're in a situation where I feel like they have no direction per se, right? Like,
yeah.
Like they don't have their guy. They think they have their guy. I'm assuming in Ben Simmons, right? But he's been out too. So, I mean, you know, he had a good showing today in the game, nearly had a triple-double, two rebounds from a triple-double. But the thing is I think we'll know more about this team after this trade deadline, because I'm not sure that Mikal Bridges doesn't get moved somewhere. And I'm not saying because they want to get rid of him. I just think that teams could want a player like Mikal Bridges. And like I said, maybe that'll help the Brooklyn Nets kind of put them in some sort of direction. You know, but you know who's going in the opposite the direction is the Orlando Magic. Sort of GM. They started 14-5 to start the season. 14-5. But they're currently 24-22. So, you know, definitely that hot start, that magical start that they started the season with, that you know, some of them were already punching them into the playing tournament, has definitely cooled off. You know, they're brought down back to earth. Now, I will say they've never been below 500, so that bodes well for them. But they're close, right? They're 24-22. Yeah. They're getting up to the mark. And look, I think that they have a couple players that are like, this is our person that's staying. Like Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner. But what I was reading about the Orlando Magic is that reports, right, are that the team may be looking for a point guard. So that's what I'm interested to see. Yeah, right. So what
are you serious?
Wow. Yeah, that's what the reporters are saying. And now I want to ask you, you know, what are the how are the Orlando Magic set up right now, and how does the point guard fit into the astrology?
It's interesting that you mentioned that, because their point guard is offsetting, right? And I'll just put this out there. It's so interesting, and it makes a lot of sense. I've seen so many of these over the years that, okay, take a step back, look at the starting lineup, ideal starting lineup for the Magic. You have Fultz, he's a Gemini, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's either Suggs. I think Suggs starts majority of games. He's also Gemini. So you have a double Gemini backcourt. Now, you look at the front court. I think as of late, they've been starting Wendell Carter Jr. again. So he's an Aries. So yes, you have Carter Jr., Suggs, and are compatible, right? But who are your two main pieces? Who's the featured players there? You have Banchero, who's a Scorpio. You have Franz Wagner, who's a Virgo. Now, those two are extremely compatible together. So what does that create? A 3-2 lineup. And that's what kind of I've seen them been using as of late, is that sort of 3-2 lineup. But several weeks ago, or even months ago, there was a point that Wendell Carter Jr., who's an Aries, got injured. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, who did they replace him with? Was the other center, Bitadze. He's a Cancer. Okay, now what does that mean? Cancer, so you look at the front court for the Magic. You have Banchero's a Scorpio, that's a fixed sign. You have Wagner, the Virgo, who's a mutable sign. And then you have Betadze, who's a Cancer, who's a cardinal sign. What did I say about the trifecta, right? That's a strong, strong synergy right there. Now, the time that when Betadze was starting, they were a plus 42 net rating, plus 42.6 net rating when they used that line in combination of two bench players that are also compatible to that group, which they create a 5-0 lineup. That lineup is Betadze at center, Banchero, who's a Scorpio, a power forward, Wagner, who's a Virgo, Harris, who's also a Virgo, and Anthony, Greg Anthony. I can't remember his son, Anthony.
Carter.
Anthony. Is it Cole Anthony? That's his name.
Cole Anthony.
So it's a 5-0 lineup. 5-0 lineup. They had a net rating of plus 42.6. It was around that time where they had a major, you know, they took several a huge winning streak when they utilized that sort of lineup, plus whenever Betadze was starting. Now, when the Carter Jr. came back, slowly they eased him in back to the starting rotation, right? But what does that do? It throws off everything else, right? Because you have a set rotation. Of course, when you have one major piece such as Wendell Carter Jr. playing majority of the minutes, you know, at the big, what does that do? It takes a step back from Betadze going back to the bench, and then all these other pieces kind of falters through, and it kind of messes up their synergy. Chemistry is a hard thing, and it just messes up their flow, their natural sense of unison, their natural sense of wholesome. And I think that's what they're going through right now. And it's crazy because they can't figure it. I feel like teams get lost and they panic and they just kind of like, okay, what's going on? Why are we losing this and that? And they just start start messing up their lineup even more and make it worse, right? But I'm just looking at their lineup. I'm like, man, they had it. They had it good. They just messed it up.
Here's what was interesting. Mark Stein, you know, longtime NBA reporter, reporting that Wendell Carter Jr. and Fultz could become available by the trade deadline, trade. And Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports also said on a recent podcast that Carter's name has been thrown around. So those two players, you know, and I mean, it has to be said, the Magic have played a lot of the season with Carter and Fultz on the bench. I think that's kind of what you were, you know, talking about. So if you remove them and bring in players that fit them, or
who did you say it was? Suggs? Suggs?
No, Carter and Fultz. Carter and Fultz.
Because they're both opposite from their main pieces, Banchero and Wagner.
There you go.
It's interesting that you say that. Wow, that's news. That's new to me, but it's interesting that you said it.
It's interesting. Yeah, we'll see if they make the change. Maybe they could get that point guard that could kind of, you know, what if they are searching for that kind of player, what kind of sign would you like to see them that'll fit with this team? And obviously with Banchero and Wagner.
You know, so one player that stands out, I see him as an underrated player, and he's kind of been jumping from team to team. Dennis Schroeder would fit very well with this team. Him being a Virgo. Yeah, Virgo. So he's a Virgo. Mix him up with Banchero, mix him up with Francois Wagner. That's a strong trio. And then if Wendell Carter Jr. gets moved, and if they so happen to believe and trust Betadze putting back in a starting lineup, they have something going on there. You know who Betadze reminds me of? Him going into a starting lineup and they play well. Look at how the New York Knicks are performing now. Yes, they did get Anunoby, but who was their center there?
Hartenstein.
Hartenstein. Yeah. It's identical to what you're seeing with Orlando Magic. Now, who was their starting center before? Or is injured now? Mitchell Robinson. An Aries, right? Now, Aries is opposite of Jalen Brunson, who's their point guard, who's opposite of Hart, who's a Pisces, who's opposite of Grimes, who's a Taurus, who's opposite of that. And no, you see what I'm saying? So
sometimes
it's just that one little piece, that little tweak in certain lineups. And the way I see a lot of teams, they go through this unexpected, you know, improvement in synergy because of an injury of some sort. Look at the Magic. You know, Carter Jr. get injured, they plugged in Betadze. Hey, they're playing good all of a sudden.
Yep.
Look at the Knicks. Mitchell Robinson got injured, they plugged in Hartenstein. Hey, they're playing good all of a sudden, right? That's kind of what I mean by that. Sometimes I don't think they know, or of course, I don't think they probably realize, hey, it's because of synergy, but the synergy actually improved. You see? So
right.
That's what I'm seeing.
I think that's also maybe perhaps where the plus minus comes in, or maybe we should start looking into that. But we'll have to save that for another episode, because that is the end of our 12th episode here with the Hoopsology Podcast. So, GM, any final words before we head off?
Follow us on the Zodiac GM on Twitter X, and also Hoopstrology.
And follow me, Jesus_Jr., and follow the Bayou Cidian. And thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. See ya.